Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Mark, Miss Phyllis. It is such an honor to stand behind this pulpit. Praise God. It really is. This is the best pulpit in Evansville, you know. Amen. I'm not kidding. I can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know for sure that this is the best church in Evansville. If I lived in Evansville, this is where I'd go to church. I don't know anybody that's going to preach to you like Pastor Mark preaches to you. Here, I have no doubt. If there's one in Evansville, I'd know about him. But I don't know about him. Because, you know, you get the word of faith here. You get faith and confession and healing and angels. And you got a man that flows with the gifts of the Spirit. And wow, tremendous. Amen. True Word and Spirit Church. You're in the right place tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to talk about the local church. I've been doing a series at my church on the local church. And it's really good. It'd be outstanding, but it didn't smile at me, you know. You look at a message and it wasn't there. And then I thought, well, I could preach on finances because, you know, I got a good message on finances. Praise God. It is God's will for you to prosper. Do you know that? Y'all talk about money at this church, don't you? Is that okay? Praise God. It's God's will for you to prosper. I say it like this. I stole it from a past friend of mine. I'm not going to give him credit for it. But his quote is this. Prosperity is simply a term that describes God's will for your life. Commit that to memory. Prosperity is simply a term that describes God's will for your life. When people start about the prosperity gospel, and all that, what's the poor gospel? I mean, what do you want? Prosperity means success. But people think that we think just money. But we don't just think just money. God ain't against you having money. He's against you being covetous. Praise God. But I'm not preaching about prosperity tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell my story tonight. I had to ask Pastor Cassie. I was like, have I ever told my, you know, testimony here? I don't think I have. Praise God. We preached here once before. And don't remember exactly what I talked about. I think in times, I'd like to talk about end times. Been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I know my stuff. Praise God. I can tell you right when Jesus is coming back, but I ain't going to do that. Hallelujah. Tell you want to know? We'll talk later in the back room. Praise God. Yes, you will not need those plots. Jesus will not tarry that long. You will see the coming of the Lord. I'm prophesying. Hallelujah. Didn't my wife do a great? Was y'all here for my wife about a few weeks ago? She's so outstanding and just an exceptional person. She's not only a great pastor and preacher and teacher and can flow with the gifts of the Spirit and just very spiritual and just a good person all around, but she's smart and professional and, she's got her doctorate in nursing and she taught nurses and in management, leadership, director of the program, developed nursing curriculum, developed whole programs, went before the State Board of Nursing, she gets flying remarks, 5.0s all across the board from all of anybody that's ever been over her. Look, she loves it when I talk about her. She likes the attention. Just kidding. She doesn't like the attention. She's very humble, very modest. She, DNP. She got her, it would be your ASN and then your BSN, then your master's and then your doctorate, DNP, and she never got a B. 4.0 all the way through. Just tremendous. And like I said, raving reviews from everybody that's over and all of her students. She's never got a bad remark from a student. Surveys, Anyways, I'm just bragging on my wife. Praise God. She's an exceptional person. Hallelujah. Pastor Mark told me when I married, when we were getting together, he said, you got a good one there. I was like, yes, I agree. And I'm finding out just how amazing she is. But she taught a great message last time we were together. But like I said, I want to tell my story. I just felt led to do that. I could go a bunch of different directions, but I think it's going to help somebody tonight. I used to have a youth leader. He would say, you don't have to know every verse in the Bible. You don't even have to be an eloquent speaker or know all that stuff, but you can tell your story.
That's right.
You can talk about what God's done for you. I used to be like this, and now I'm like this, and it's all because of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to tell my story. I turn to Luke chapter 15. Amen. All right, you're responding. I heard a preacher say one time recently, he said, "You're responding better than I'm preaching." And I was like, well, I've never felt led to say that, but he said, they were hooping and hollering. I guess he felt like he wasn't saying much. He's, "Wow, you're responding better than I'm preaching." And usually it's the other way around. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. I'm just going to read on down through here. You know this story, but I just like reading it. And if I cry, just know that I'm not a sissy, all right? I'm just a sensitive man, okay? God's touched me, and I'm thankful, all right? So I'm tough. I'm a tough guy. Just don't pay no attention to that. Verse 11, Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, where he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have he filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Praise God. That's the story of the prodigal son. I've always considered myself kind of like a prodigal son. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this service, this church. Oh, we're so thankful to Father. Thankful for what you want to do tonight. Anoint me, Father. Speak through my mouth. Let somebody get something. Let somebody get answers tonight. Let somebody just be encouraged, be inspired. And I thank you, Father, for your power working in people's lives tonight, bringing answers. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, to start my story, you got to start at the beginning. Hallelujah. I was born in 1978. My mom, she's back there. She's 18 years old. My mom and dad were both 18 when I was born. They were young, got pregnant. They were married in September, but I was born in February. So if you do the math there, you know, there might have been a little baby bump in the, she's saying, cut. All right, I got two women saying, be quiet. Hallelujah. But that's where they started. You know, they were both 18 and they got married early, and they had issues like everybody. You know, my dad grew up in church, but he got away from church probably, you know, as a young teenager. His parents probably didn't make him go to church, and he just, you know, started smoking and drinking and doing stuff, you know, and just had issues, anger issues, insecurity issues, you know, like any teenage boy does that don't have a good, real good home life or whatever. You know, his mom and dad were Christians and good people, but they didn't know what you know. Denominational church don't teach what you know. Praise God. So, and my mom, I don't think she went to church at all much. No. They didn't go to church. So, you know, they got married, and it was tough. Like I said, you know, you got substance issues, addictions, and trying to raise a baby, and you're making, my dad said he made $2.20 an hour. Minimum wage was $2.20. And he'd work 80 or 90 weeks, you know, work his fingers to the bone just to make some money, just to pay the rent or do whatever. Didn't have much, you know. They were fighting. The testimony of my dad, I just heard him say it just not long ago that, you know, they were heading for the divorce court. That's where it was going to end up, you know. But he got saved through his boss at work, and started going to, like, different churches, you know. Of course, you go to the Baptist churches or the Christian churches, you know, trying to find a church. And a guy he worked with said, you know, we're having this Bible study. And it was Dr. Michael Jacobs that was having the Bible study in 1985. I was 7 years old. And he passed around a paper and said, if you want to join it, I'm going to start a church here in New Albany. And if you want to join this church, you know, sign your name here. You know, so they did. And so my parents was one of 12 families that started church on the Rock of New Albany, 1985. And we started going to church. Like I said, I was 7 years old. But my dad and my mom, you know, if you know them, if they're going to do something, they're going to do it all in. They're just all in. So we didn't miss church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, year after year after year. And, you know, Dr. Jacobs now, he's kind of like a traveling prophet and a healing, you know. He might have one or two scriptures, you know, and just flow. But back then, he was a teacher. Like 30 scriptures a service, hour and a half. I mean, it was like going to Bible school, you know. And he taught faith and confession. He was a good student of Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin, you know. And that's just, that's what we grew up in. And I'm so thankful. Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that we were taught the word that we were taught. Me and my brother talk about it all the time. My brother, you know, he went down to Texas and Bible school, and he's been around more ministries, bigger ministries and different ministries. And he says, you know, the character and the integrity and the honesty and the ethics that was put in us, it's not in every ministry. Kind of shocks me. I thought we're Christians, aren't we? Shouldn't we act like Christians? But not everybody does, you know. So and I know Pastor Mark is a man of character and ethics and integrity, so you should be very grateful, very thankful. Praise God. Like I said, best one in Evansville, that's for sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we started growing to church, and I grew up in church, and like I said, it was 30 scriptures a service. And so, you know, I didn't much care for it. But I just wanted to hang out with my friends, you know, and have fun and do stuff. But my parents made me go to church, and I'm so glad they did. They were there every time the doors were open. I'm telling you, you count on one hand the times they missed all year. You count on one hand the times they missed in 5 years. It's just, they just didn't miss church. And, you know, that 1985, that's 40 years ago. And my mom and dad, they're doing all right, aren't you? They got a good life, don't you? You know, and I attribute that to that. That's the secret to their success. Yes. Is going to church, finding your pastor, finding your man of God, your local church, and you know, like I said, I've been preaching on the local church. You know, talking about doctrine, sound doctrine, and unity, and the fear of the Lord. You know, I can take you back to Acts 2 and show you all these different things, the attributes of the first church, and. It's just, it's God's plan for your life to have a pastor. Because when you have a pastor, you go back to Jeremiah and you see that you start to increase, you start to multiply, you start to not be discouraged, and the fear goes away and the lack goes away. Praise God. And your peace is multiplied. But when you have a pastor, hallelujah. And like I said, my parents, they're prosperous people now, you know. I talk about money, partly. They're doing okay financially, but both of their kids are in church serving God, you know, in the ministry, and they just got a good life, and it's because of serving God. I love the songs that we sang. It was a good segue into my preaching tonight, talking about, you know, chains being broken, and all my life He's been faithful. Praise God. It's good songs. The praise and worship is always excellent around here. Who are you? Where are you at, Jill? Yeah, there you go. Excellent. Very good. It always do real good. But anyways, so I grew up in church, but like I said, I like to have fun. I'm kind of a I don't know, you call it a risk taker, or I'm an adventurous person. I like jumping off of bridges and cliffs and, you know, riding motorcycles and just doing stuff like that. And I liked my friends a lot. I wanted to be liked when I was a teenager. You know what I mean? I wanted to be popular, and I was popular. I played basketball, baseball, and football, and everybody knew me, you know, and I thought that was cool. But it ain't that cool. You need to tell your kids you don't need to strive to be popular, because usually that means you're contorting yourself every which way just to make people like you. You have an identity crisis after a while. You know, you don't even know who you are because you're trying to please everybody. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, you know, I started hanging around the wrong people. Drugs, you know, started smoking cigarettes at first, and then turns into drinking, and then a little drugs, you know, talking late teens. And I got to be about 18, 19 years old, and my dad told me, he said, you know, if you can't make at least, like I said, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, if you can't make at least one of those three during the week, you can't live here anymore. I had a little brother, and, you know, he always had a call in his life, you know, and he's being groomed to go into ministry. And my dad didn't want me badly influencing him, corrupting him. So he said, I got to make at least one church service, and I couldn't do it. So I had to go. So I quit going to church about 18, 19 years old. Worst thing you ever do is quit going to church. Oh my gosh, you're out there on your own, out in the world, you know. And the drugs and the alcohol got more. My dad always told me growing up, he said, don't mess with those stuff. Don't mess with that stuff. They got hooks in it. It has hooks of cigarettes. Yeah. I said, I'm going to quit smoking. I throw my cigarettes out the window, and then I drive 2 miles down the road, turn around, go back to get the cigarettes out of the ditch. You know, they had hooks in them. Yeah. You, drugs and alcohol have hooks in them, and he told me about that. Praise God. And I knew what I was doing was wrong. I grew up in church, I loved God. And I was saved and born again at an early age. I was filled with the Holy Ghost about 9 years old, speaking in tongues. You know, I was a tither all the way through as a teenager because I had jobs, you know, and make some money. Make $5. Make $50, put $5 in the offering. You know, I was a tither, and I loved God, but I was doing wrong. And I knew I was doing wrong. And I wanted to change, but I didn't have no power to change. You know. I'm talking, you know, after I got kicked out of my house, my mom and dad's house, I moved in with some friends, and then the partying got to be serious partying, you know. I always maintained a job, but I was like a weekend warrior partier, you know. And the drugs and the alcohol. And it went on like that for years, until finally I said, enough's enough. I like what, you know, the prodigal son of city came to himself. I finally came to myself. I always knew. I go back to church, get right with God, let the man of God lay hands on me, cast demons out of me if I need to, whatever, you know, get delivered, that I would be set free and I could live a normal life and I wouldn't be bound to these addictions. Praise God. I knew that because I grew up in church and I knew what the answer was. But like I said, I was running for so long, thinking you're having fun, but after a while, you're not doing the drugs. The drugs are doing you, and you're not having any fun, and it gets miserable, you know. But that's where I was. Praise God. Let me see. I better get to my notes here. I always knew I could come back to church, get right with God. Hallelujah. Does this pertain to anybody? Y'all know anybody? I think this affects everybody, doesn't it? We all know somebody that grew up in church, a family member, a loved one that we're believing God for. My heart goes out to those prodigal sons and daughters. I've watched people, you know, like I said, grew up church in New Albany, and I watch people get away from God, and it's just like, it's heartbreaking because their life ends up a mess. I'm like, come back to church, you know? So this affects everybody, you're probably praying for somebody. I bet most of you are. Praying for somebody, believing God for somebody to come back to church, get right with God. You know, my mom and dad, they were so steady and so so faithful. My dad, you know, like I said, my dad, he's kind of type A. He's got a, he had a sheet with a bunch of scriptures on it. And they were, it was a scripture confession sheet that he was confessing over me. And he would do it every day. And he was religious about it. He would do it every day, and he wouldn't give up. I'm talking year after year after year. I was getting in trouble, going to jail. Yeah, I've been to jail. I met my wife. She's Miss Goody Two Shoes. She's pastor's daughter. She might have seen a beer one night on a Friday night somewhere up in Lagodi. Praise God. But you know, I said, we were dating, been on a couple of dates. I said, I got something to tell you. I said, I've been to jail. She said, oh, really? How many times you been to jail? I said, 17 times. Miss Phil, y'all are all gasping. Yeah. She said, what'd you do? Did you kill somebody? I said, no, I didn't kill anybody. Just drugs, alcohol, you know, minor offenses. Misdemeanors, they're all misdemeanors, no felonies. I'm talking like overnights in a county jail. I'm not talking going to prison. I have never been to prison, but I got in trouble all the time. You know, my mom's sitting back here, she could tell you. I'm telling you, they believed God for me, and they didn't give up on me. I think mom wanted to a couple times. Yep, she's shaking her head. Yeah, she wanted to, but she never did. Amen. And I'm believing God one of these days she's going to forgive me for everything I put her through. She has forgave me, pretty much. Hallelujah. But, you know, that's where I was. But I always tell people, my parents, they never condoned my lifestyle. They never said it was okay, or never tried to, you know, make up for what Sonny's doing or whatever, or, you know, try to explain it to somebody. She just, you know. Now, they wouldn't talk bad about me. They wouldn't, when people would get in a car and say, hey, how's Sonny doing? You know, they wouldn't go down the tale of everything he's in. They all, because they were taught faith and confession and saying the right things. They would speak over me like I was doing okay and living right and doing right. Praise God. But they kept going to church, and they didn't get offended, and they lived what they believed, and they lived what were preached. They weren't one way at church, another way at home.
Right.
I've been a pastor for a little bit now, and I've seen some people. I know a little bit about humanity.
There you go.
And the people that do real well in their Christian life and their walk with God are the ones that live at home the way they are at church.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm not saying my mom and dad are perfect, but they really believed what they were being preached to, you know, and they did their best to be doers of the word.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
Like I said, not perfect, but they were genuine. Right. They were sincere. Right. And I knew that God was real and the Bible was true. And they didn't get offended when they had chances to get offended and leave. I wouldn't have had a church to go back to if there was no church to go to.
Right.
You understand? Yeah. You gotta, if you're believing, I'm talking about people who's believing God for somebody, you gotta keep on setting the example. You know, don't get offended and run off. That's easy to do.
That's right.
You're gonna get opportunities. Not by Pastor Mark, of course. He won't, but you know, maybe Miss Phyllis might say something, run you off. I don't know. Oh man, y'all got me going tonight. Hallelujah. No, I don't think that's going to happen either. Praise God. But hallelujah. Let me get back to my notes. Finally, I think I was 26 years old. It was 2004. I graduated in 1996, so I was 18 in 96. I might have went a little bit when I was 18, 19 years old, but 27, I'm talking 7 or 8 years out in the world, you know, not stepping a foot in church. And, but I finally said enough's enough. I knew what the answer was. I knew that's what I needed to do. So I came to church one Sunday morning, and it wasn't easy. You know, the devil's a liar.
That's right.
And he'll lie to you.
Yeah,
he'll say, then people don't want to see you. They don't like you. They're a little nervous to be around you, you know. They're kind of scared of you. And you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I had all those thoughts. And of course, you come in and I sat in the back row. When you haven't been there for 8 years, you sat in the back row. And you're like, yes, oh my God, you're not looking at anybody. You know, but those people were so happy to see me. They'd been believing God for me. They'd been having like prayer sessions on a Sunday night just for me, you know. And they were thrilled to see me, you know. And I wasn't easy. And I'd been out in the world for 8 years, and that puts a trip on your head like you don't even know, you know. You feel all kind of, you don't know if you've messed it up so bad or if God even loves you anymore.
Right.
I'm serious, you know. And of course, I grew up in church. I know God loves you. God is love.
Right.
But I was just messed up with covered up with so much ugly stuff, you know. But I sit back there, can't tell you what he preached on that day. But at the end of the service, he said, "Brother Sonny, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I wanted to say you're embarrassing me." Hey, first service back. He said, "I'm not trying to embarrass you." He said, "I just want you to know that God's got a plan for your life."
Amen.
And that's just have always stuck with me, because God did have a plan for my life. You know, now I'm preaching. I'm a pastor of a church. I own a business and I have a beautiful wife. I married the pastor's daughter. Got 4 kids, you know. God's been good to me. All my life he's been faithful. I love that song. Even when I wasn't right with him, he was faithful to me. Look at all the stuff that you've went through. And here you are. Still standing, aren't you? Everything you've ever went through, you got to the other side of everything. And here you are. Praise God. And whatever you're facing right now, you're going to the other side of it.
Right.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. God has been so good to me. Praise God. Let me see here. Hallelujah. I want to say this. You know, I came back to church, and I did go up front and let the man of God lay hands on me and, you know, cast any demons out of me. But I, you know, and I always contend that I was always saved, but I was just out of fellowship with God. You know, I was born again, but so I recommitted my life. I went up into the sinner's line, you know, the sinner's prayer line too, one time, and recommitted. And, but I had all those habits. They didn't just fall off immediately, you know, but, you know, Romans 12:2, it says, by the renewing of your mind. Let's read. We need to read another scripture. Praise God. Romans 12, we'll read 1 and 2. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You got to renew your mind. See, I living out in the world for 8 years, my mind was all messed up. I thought wrong about everything. And I had to renew my mind. And you know, like I said, all the drinking and the alcohol, the smoking cigarettes especially, took a while. You know, but eventually it all fell. I just kept on coming to church. I knew that because that's what my parents did. You just show up every time the doors open. As soon as I was able to, I started getting in Ministry of Helps. Oh, and I started tithing too. I got a friend down in Paducah, Dr. Chris Cody. He said, "I seen it plain as day one time." He said, "I looked out in the congregation. I said, everybody who shows up, number one, they come to church. Number two, they're a tither. Number three, they're in the Ministry of Helps. Their life just keeps going up and up and up. Praise God. They just keep going up and up and up." So I knew to do that. Show up, start tithing, and start putting my hand to the plow. You know, I started mowing the grass. Eventually, they let me be a youth leader. Yeah, I don't know if that was the best decision or not, but they let me be a youth leader. I don't. They seen something in me. Praise God. I don't know. I think the first service, the first sermon I did in the youth room, I think I might have said a cuss word. I'm not sure. Yeah, I was a little too. I wasn't ready, but they put me in there anyway. Oh, you know, that's a hard habit to break when you talk wrong like that. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Right. Cussing. Right. Y'all, I'm not talking about your cussers out there, am I? Don't be cussing. But it's a hard habit to break. Hey, but you know what? Renewing the mind. I don't cuss anymore. The cigarettes and the drugs, the alcohol, it didn't fall off immediately, but it did fall off. Year and a half, it was all done with. Praise God.
Amen.
And you couldn't pay me to take a drink right now. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. I'm of the camp of Pastor Nancy Dufresne. She said, if your preacher gets up behind the pulpit and says it's okay to drink alcohol, you need to run.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Praise. I'm glad I got a witness there on the front row. I'm in the right church. Praise God. It's not okay to drink alcohol. Okay, hallelujah. So, renewing of the mind. Praise God. I came back to church in October of 04. It's 2025. It's been over 20 years that I've had, nothing. No drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes. Praise God. God's been good. God's been faithful. And like I said, Matt Cassie, I'd like to tell you that whole story. You want to hear it? It's a good story. I can't tell the whole story because, I mean, it takes too long and can't do it justice. But in 2010, and Pastor Cass, she'd been coming down for a while, to special meetings at Church on the Rock. And I used to see her. But this one time, I told my dad, we'd go in the back room, it's like a fellowship thing, punch and cake. And she was sitting over there. I told my dad, I said, I'd like to meet that Davis girl. And he said, why don't you make that happen? And I was like, well, I don't know. And I kind of seen her in the hallway that night, and I made an awkward, have a good trip back to Lagodi, or something like that. It was a failed attempt. It was lame. But didn't you say the Holy Ghost told you that now he's going to try to contact you, and it's okay, right? I'm telling you, it's a supernatural story from beginning to end. God totally orchestrated it, divinely. So my dad told Miss Donna, the church secretary down there, my dad goes up to her, meets her in the hallway, they meet in the hallway, said, hey, Miss Donna, Sonny said he wants to meet that Davis girl. She looked up, said, that's God. Praise God. Apparently she was praying, and she does, she's just an intercessory type of person. She's seen her face and my face, and in prayer one time, she said, that's God. So, she gave me the email address, right? Started emailing. She said, the ball's in your court now. I said, all right. So I started emailing her. But then, let's see, that would have been end of February, March of 2010, March 12th of 2010. Like a big dummy, I go out to Colorado and wreck my body on the side of a mountain, hit a rock, skiing. I'll tell you that story as soon as I'm done with this story. Praise God. So we were supposed to go out for lunch. Pastor Nancy Dufresne was having a ladies meeting, and I was going to be working like an usher. We were supposed to go out to lunch, but like I said, the weekend before, I went out to Colorado, hit a rock. I'm on the ICU. I'm in the ICU. I'm on a vent. I'm on life support. I'm barely alive. My life was hanging in the balance. But anyways, I come out of that and come back, and there's a whole big long story, praise God. But anyways, we married in November of that year. The pastor's daughter. Sonny Flock married the pastor's daughter. I'm telling you, God's good. Grace and mercy, praise God. Hallelujah. And it's been like heaven on earth ever since. It really has. Started a business. Started having kids. Got four beautiful children. Smart. Good looking. Got a nice house. Got nice vehicles. Got a beautiful wife. Got a business. Got a church. Started a church. We just started a preschool recently. Had all kind of just favor surrounding that, Just been wonderful. God's been good. Do I have my challenges? Of course I got my challenges. I live here on planet Earth.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I don't magnify them. I don't talk about them a whole lot. You don't need to tell anybody you got challenges. We all know we got challenges. But praise God, we go to the other side.
Right.
We believe in God. We believe by faith that we're going to the other side. Hallelujah. But let me tell you about my healing testimony. You got time?
Yes.
But March 12th, 2010, I went out with a friend of mine, an old worldly friend. He called me up, said, "Hey, let's go on a skiing trip." He's a big-time skier, and I used to be a big-time skier too. And he said, "What we'll do is we'll drive up to Indy on a Thursday night. We'll get a cheap hotel. First thing Friday morning, there's a flight that goes direct nonstop, Indy to Denver. We'll be out there by 7 or 8 a.m. So we'll rent a car. We'll go out I-70 West, out through the Eisenhower Tunnel, and you will come out, and we'll be in Summit County, and we'll go skiing. We'll ski all day Friday, all day Saturday, half the day Sunday, and then get an airplane back and come back." I was like, "You're on. Let's do it. Come on. That sounds great." Praise God. But coming, getting closer time to go, I had this witness on the inside. "You need to call him. Tell him you're not going. Cancel the trip. Cancel the trip." But I didn't do it. And anyways, we went out there. Everything happened just like I said, up until the point we were about Friday morning, about four runs down, A Basin, Summit County, Colorado. It's kind of a smaller place. It's more of a local favorite, you know, and it's all above tree line. It's nothing but snow and rocks. It's high altitude, and it's a lot of black diamonds, a lot of double blacks, and a lot of moguls. It's extreme skiing. So we were having a great day. Sun was shining. It was, you know, we, like I said, made 3 or 4 runs down, and we were coming up the lift, and he seen this big face over here. He said, let's hike up there, and we'll drop in on that." I was like, "Let's do it." So we hiked up, you know, took our skis off, hiked up to the top of this thing, dropped in this face, did all the moguls all the way down, and this is what he told me. I remember all the way up until that point where we dropped in, and I don't remember anything after that, because he said he was kind of quartering ahead of me here, and he looked and he seen that I was heading right for this big rock, and he looked back at me and he seen that he could tell my face just snowed. I'm going right for this big rock. So I cut real hard on my right ski, and my edge caught, and it just catapulted me into the air. Wham, I hit that rock. He said, you know, the corner of the rock's like this. He said, you know, kind of my hip right there, and just bam, upper body. He said it was like a mousetrap going off, smack, and you know, did 2 or 3 somersaults and landed in the snow. Facing up the mountain. You know, he was ahead of me, so he had to stop, take his skis off, hike back up. Took like 5 minutes to get back to me. I'm just laying there, unconscious. He said when he picks me up, rolls me over, he said just blood just went, just blood filled up the cavity where my face was, you know. And he started hollering and said, "Hey," you know, and the first guy that comes by was an EMT guy, you know, a first responder. And he started helping me, started working on me. He said ski patrol was there almost immediately. A lot of supernatural things happened. Number one, I was wearing a helmet. I'd probably been skiing at least 150, 200 times. And I'd never wore a helmet in my life. I was against them. I don't believe in them. But on the way up there, you know, we didn't fly out with our skis. We rented skis. So on the way up, you know, we're renting our skis. He said, "Grab a helmet." I said, "I ain't grabbing no helmet." He said, "No, seriously, we're going to be doing some extreme stuff. Grab a helmet." It's like, okay. So I had a helmet on. Supernatural. Saved my life. Yeah. Had a big old gash in the top of that thing. But anyways, so they're working on me. He said when he got up to me, my leg was up around my ear like this, you know. I was in bad shape. So they life flight me off of the mountain. They'd never landed a helicopter in that spot. They didn't have no extraction points right there, but they made one that day. Praise God. It's still called Sonny's Landing to this day at A Basin, Colorado. And they picked me up out of there, flew me to Denver, St. Anthony Hospital, T10 trauma unit. They get me in. They said, as I'm flying in the helicopter, my belly just keeps on getting bigger and tighter to the touch because my spleen was torn in two and I'm bleeding out. Right before, you know, they're getting me off the helicopter, get me into the hospital, and I lost all vitals, coded, you know. They rush me into the operating room, cut me open from here to here, repair my spleen, or at least get it quit bleeding. You know, I had over 20 broken bones in my body. Both orbitals, both jaw bones, my nose, my palate. My face was just crushed. They put 47 screws and 14 plates in my face. I had 2 or 3 broken vertebrae in my neck, 3 or 4 in my back. I had broken ribs, punctured lung, collapsed lung, dissected carotid artery, lacerated pancreas. My femur was broken in half and my hip was out of socket. That's why my leg was up like that. There's probably some more stuff that I can't think of. But I was busted up really bad. That's why, you know, I lost all vitals. I was messed up. But they saved my life there in surgery and got me into the ICU room. And my mom and dad said that they had many doctors on my case. Matter of fact, when I looked at my insurance claims, I made over 120 claims on my insurance in one weekend. 120, 30 different doctors, 120 different claims, $750-something thousand. Let's see. They did surgery on my face. I think that's where, you know, I had a punctured lung, but then my other lung collapsed and they couldn't pump the lung back up, you know. I think I, you know, lost all vitals again when the guy was putting 47 screws, I think it was 12-hour surgery or something. Long time, all day long. My mom said that the doctor came to him and said, I'm going to cut him from here to here and pull his face down like this and work on his face. And she said, is there any other way? Can you do it? And they did it with just a couple pinholes, a pinhole here, you know, laparoscopically, 2 pinhole here and pinhole here. Did up 47 screws, 14 plates. People that's never met me before said, man, I can't even tell you that you got all that. I said, you should have seen me how good looking I was before it happened. I love telling that joke. Hallelujah. I know. You've never seen me before. How do you know you can't tell? But anyways, praise God. They kept me on the vent for like 7 days, maybe 10 days. Drug-induced coma, Versed and Propofol or the stuff that killed Michael Jackson. That stuff. And you know, they kept me on that. And finally, when I woke up, and my dad said one of the first things I said when I came out, I said, you can't keep a covenant man down. Yeah. See, it matters where you go to church. You better go to a place that teaches faith and healing.
Yeah,
healing. I've been taught all my life healing is God's will for your life. And it's real strong in me. And I've been taught confession too. And I try to talk right. And I always say, I'm the most healed, healthy person that you know.
That's right.
I say it all the time. And guess what? I am. I'm the most healthy person that I know. Praise God, because I have what I say. But all that word was in me. It was in my spirit. Didn't you talk about that? Did you talk about it here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Praise God. It was in my spirit. Praise God. I said, you can't keep a covenant man down. And instantly I started saying, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here quick. I'm going to make a full recovery. It was no weight bearing, you know. I was all messed up. My mouth was wired shut. I had to have one of them big old neck things on because I had all them broken vertebrae in my neck, you know. They didn't want me to hurt myself. You know, when you got jagged bones in your vertebrae, you don't want that to hit your spinal cord, you know. But I was in the hospital for 17 days. I'll make this story real short. I was in the hospital for 17 days, and I came home. I was back to work in 5 weeks. I was back in the gym running on a treadmill in 8 weeks. And in 11 weeks from the day of the accident, I ran a 5K up and down hills in Starlight, Indiana. Didn't walk a step. I ran all of them. 11 weeks from the accident, 24 broken bones all busted up, dislocated hip and broken femur. It was totally divine, supernatural healing.
Yes.
Glory to God. How I had people praying all over the world. Pastor Mark and Miss Phyllis are some of them. And, God's a healer. God's a healer. Praise God. Praise God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.